The content you are about to hear represents the personal experiences and viewpoints of cardiac patients that are happy to share their stories. We are not medical professionals, and the information provided should not be construed as professional medical advice. If you are experiencing any medical symptoms, we strongly recommend that you seek the guidance from a qualified medical professional or a cardiac specialist. Your health and well-being are of utmost importance, and nothing in this podcast should replace personal professional medical advice. Remember, everyone's situation is unique, and seeking professional help is crucial for accurate diagnosis and treatment. Thank you for joining us. Okay, this is the first episode of the Epsom Cardiac Podcast, and we've decided to call this episode It Wasn't Indigestion. It will describe what we went through during our individual instance. And the episode will be in three parts. The first will be with Fred and Dave, who we'll hear from today. And this will be followed up by accounts from Mike, Lee and Ed. So, take it away, Fred.
Well, a date I'll never forget. Sunday, the 8th of August, 2015. I was 59 years old. And I woke up at about 7 o'clock-ish Sunday morning in the country because we were staying with friends in Somerset. So remember, there's that old saying, you know, don't have an incident at the weekend or in the country. Well, I was fucked, weren't I? So woke up, indigestion. Oh, indigestion. So I thought, usual thing, because I'm used to indigestion, you know, I'll have a coffee, you know, and see if that helps me to go. Didn't work. The old Gaviscon, had that down. And I thought, I know, I'll have a shower. That'll sort it. I'll have a shower. About an hour later, Anna said to me, you look grey. Oh, grey, that's different. Okay. And you look very sweaty.
Okay. Oh.
She says, I'm going to call an ambulance. Oh. I also said to her, good luck, because we're in the country and it's very hard to get a mobile signal. Our friends didn't have a landline. So for about 10 minutes, I'm standing out. So I didn't lose contact. I could walk around. It took me 10 minutes to get 999. They came within 20 minutes. They did a quick check. They said, this was in the living room. They did a quick check. We think you've had a heart attack. Take the old aspirin under your tongue. And we're all getting used to that these days, the 300 mil. And they said, can you walk into the ambulance? I said, yeah. So I walked into the ambulance. They hooked me up to the machine. They said, you've definitely had a heart attack. So we're going to take you straight to hospital now. Ooh. And as we're going along in the, I don't know if I'm sure you've been blue lighted. What an uncomfortable journey, especially in the country. Oh, the bumps. Oh, the bump. Anyway, I can hear the driver in the front. Where should I take them? Exeter or Taunton? Because it was halfway between Exeter and Taunton.
Right.
They said, come at Taunton, straight to Taunton. All the, because it's obviously skeleton staff on Sundays. This was about 10 o'clock. They said, they'll meet you in the theatre. They took me straight up to the theatre. They did all, you know, name, address, age, blah, blah, blah. Started taking all my clothes off. They obviously gave me something because I wasn't out, but I was a bit, you know, high.
Yeah.
And they said, right, we're going to put a camera up you. And I thought, oh. And they said, and I had a discussion. Where are we going to put it? In his groin or in his vein, in his wrist? I'm thinking, please don't go near the gentleman's area. Please, please, please. And they decided to go through the wrist. Anyway, they said, if you want, you can watch it on the screen. So I turned over and you could see it on the screen.
Yeah.
Didn't make much sense of it. And then all of a sudden, there it is, there it is. What? Doctor said, we found it. There's the blockage, there's the blockage. And the doctor, Scottish guy, said, you'll feel a bit of pain as we remove the blockage, which I did. I think too bad. But he said, right, we're going to put the stent in now. And he said, right, that's all done. You can go. This was on a Sunday. He said, you can go home Wednesday. Do you know, I cried like a baby when he said that. It all came, you know, to me. Wow, that was serious. That was dangerous. That was close. You know, and it was unbelievable that I just cried. He said, that's quite normal. That's quite normal. So, and then I think they did put me to sleep because I woke up in a ward, in intensive care. Just woke up, and it was wife was there, so she was, very tearful, and that made me tearful, but it was like, wow, I've survived, I've survived. It was pure emotion. But then it all started. For the first few week, couple of weeks, I couldn't sleep lying down. I could only sleep in the chair. And the consultant came to me and he said, look, what's happened? It wasn't your heart, it was the plumbing basically, but you've now got, a chronic heart disease because, you've weakened the heart. It could get better, but I learned the new word of the day, refraction rate, which is the power of your heart. And he said, it should be at your age, 60, 65, a young fit athlete is about 70, but mine have gone down to 45. Good news, it's now come back up to, 50s, 55. But he said, until that comes back up, you're going to have this. And it did take a couple of weeks to get back up. And then I could, so then I was tired all the time. But afterwards, a couple of weeks, I could sleep lying down and get a full night's sleep. But little things like that, you get, you think, so it's dark, when you're in a ward, even when you're on you're sitting in a chair, you never get a good night's sleep. So then it all started. So on the Monday, my two brothers turned up. They'd driven all the way from London because their elder brother had died a few years earlier of a heart attack, and we never got to see him. So they thought, we're definitely going to see him.
Oh
So they
no.
turned up and they stayed and they drove back in the evening, and that was very emotional. Then the next night, Tuesday, my daughter Amy came down with Anna's brother, my brother-in-law Chris, because Anna didn't feel up to driving the car back. We had a big car, she didn't want to drive it back. So they were going to drive me back on the Wednesday. They drove me back. And when I got home, I thought, wow, that was really close. It was all very surreal. So I didn't all take it in how serious it was. You're getting all this attention. You think, well, at least I'm in good hands here. But how you remember it, I'll never forget the date. And, and the doctor, Scottish lad, and everyone, and you're so great. So, I made Anna go out and get, loads of cakes and the usual thing you do, because then you sign up for the hospital charity and all of those things. So I've got a very special place with for Taunton. Bit of a shithole, but hey ho, but very, very special to me. It was just, for everyone to rally round. And then afterwards, you start thinking, what caused this? And I had a follow up the week later when at Epsom, and they said, what do you think caused it? I said, well, I'm fairly fit, and I was, playing football and, some cycling, swimming, and, not too overweight, didn't drink a lot anyway, drunk for years. I said, stress, I'm a company director, so, I've got to deliver all the profit. So, and if you don't, it's always the directors get sacked first, but I've lived with that all my life. I think what was different about this one, for the previous 2 years, I'd been the main carer for my mum, who had severe dementia. She was like a baby in the end, broke my heart. And just being that, and she died a month to the day after, before I had my heart attack. So who knows? Who knows? But now, but it got me to meet all you guys because we all joined at the so I've made new friends, and it is friends, and we've been talking a lot, even at the gym, but more recently when we're planning, wow, all different but similar, and so and just brilliant. And I found this so helpful for all of us. But anyway, that was my incident.
Mike, the one thing I wanted to ask you when you were saying that
Off
then
rep.
is, it's that
Not
bloody thing
to
on
get that
your on the
confused.
Zoom thing. Yeah,
Just
so
explain, guys. My name was Frederick John Michael Good. Up to 16, I was called Fred. After 16 and work, I was always called Mike. But when I was on the operating terminal table, for the stent, they said, "What's your name?" Didn't think about it. I said, "Fred."
unreal. Well,
You're
look,
back as a Fred.
Fred, I wanted to ask you quickly before we move on to Dave, is when you were talking about when your wife said you'd gone grey,
Yeah.
did you feel unwell then? Did you
Well,
feel well?
you know, when she said that, I did, because then she said, "You're grey and you're sweaty." And I'm looking down and I was drenched. I was drenched.
Yeah.
And the chest was getting, as we all know, the
Tight,
chest was
yeah.
getting heavy, heavy, heavy. And I thought, yeah. And I'm so glad she said, I'm dialing 999.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
And do you think
Great.
if your wife wasn't around, would you have called 999?
I'm not
Mm.
sure because, I'd had this for about an hour and a half before, Anna said, so, I tried the coffee, the Gaviscon, the shower. They normally work with indigestion, but it didn't. So I was getting a bit worried. And funny, exactly the week before, I did a spinning class. And I don't know if you've done spinning, it's the hardest exercise I've ever done. And for once, halfway through, I was feeling so hot. I thought, I've got to get out of here. And I just walked home. I just walked literally about a mile and a half home. I just walked home. Fresh air, and by the time I got home, I was fine. Perhaps that was a mini heart attack then, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
That's a
Okay.
really that's actually really, really good question, Lee. And when I get to my bit, I'll elaborate on
Okay. Well, look, Fred.
that. Who's that? I thought it was Mike.
who's Fred? I think that's a great account of the incident you've gone through, and some good parallels with the family there as well, and a lot of empathy with what you went through. And we'll come on to those sorts of things. But look, Dave, I mean, waiting in the wings, Bionic Dave, you're ready and primed.
I'm ready to
Now,
go.
which
Ready to go.
I gotta say, Dave, which incident are you going to tell us about first?
Well, I'm just I'll just go to incident number one, and
Okay.
we'll save the other incident for a later date.
Okay.
So I'll go back a little bit, because I started getting indigestion when I was about 48, and this was diagnosed as stress, really, rather than anything else. What wasn't diagnosed is that, like Mike, I had a hiatus hernia and inflammation of the esophagus. Anyway, that wasn't diagnosed. I was just suffering from stress, which was giving me indigestion. For the next 4 years, 6 years, I was pounding the Rennies and the Tums. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Anyway, so sort of going to age 54 when I had the first incident, I was just we just moved home, back to Surrey from the Forest of Dean, and the night of the heart attack, I just couldn't sleep. I was lying down, and I just found it very hard to lie down. I had to sit up, and so about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm watching TV and eating a whopping big bar of white chocolate, which is what you do when you're watching TV and you don't think there's anything wrong with you. And I
Love
started
this.
getting a numbness in my neck,
Yeah.
and a sort of a lightheadedness. There's no extra chest pain or anything like that, and it just wouldn't go away. And like Fred, I was just sort of like almost in denial, you know. It took me, I say, about an hour and a half. Like you, I think, well, this isn't right. I know this isn't right. I know this is not good. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it will pass. Anyway, sort of it got to about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it wasn't passing. And I woke my wife up, and she said, "Call the ambulance." And off we went, and got shifted on into Epsom Hospital. A bit like you, really, Fred. They said, "Should we go to St George's at Tooting, or should we go to Epsom?" Yeah, I think this looks like a we need to get to Epsom quicker, I think. So they whipped me off to Epsom, and nothing else really happened until the following morning, when they told me, "You've had a heart attack." I said, "Nah, don't be stupid. That's just indigestion." And again, I was still in denial that I could possibly have had a heart attack. I was only 54, for Christ's sake. That's just a bad case of indigestion. Anyway, and I said, "No, you've definitely had a heart attack." So, sort of let that sink in. Anyway, we stayed 3 weeks in Epsom before they could fit and angioplasty, in which they organised at St Thomas's. So they did the angioplasty through the groin, Fred. And they said,
Okay,
you've got 100% blocked artery, that's your heart attack, thank you, at 195% and 150%. So I said, is that bad? I said, and they said, well, we've seen worse, but only when people have been dead. And so, it's a bypass for you, Sonny boy. And so I didn't really fancy the idea of a bypass being having my chest chopped open, but needs must. And I think, we've got three young children. My boys were 13, my daughter was 10. All I wanted to do was just get better so that they needed their dad. So then had the bypass. I was told at the time, this is now 22 years ago, that the grafts would last 7 years. And I complained about that. I said, that's not very long, is it? Mm. They said, well, look, okay, 10 years tops. So I never really ever dreamt that I'd be making this podcast 22 years later. Because I should have been gone a long time ago. So hopefully I can last all the way through the podcast. So we've still got some more sessions to go. The recovery period is surprisingly quick. And I would say about 3 months later, we were in holiday. We drove down to the south of France, and we were on the beach. Great big scar down my chest. And as I mentioned before, my wife didn't seem to mind about the scar. Scars down the legs as well. In fact, actually quite a lot of scars, because they tried to take veins from my ankles and my groin and it didn't work. So I ended up with scars on my ankles and my groin. And then they decided I had to take them from the legs anyway. So I got them legs, groins, ankles and chest. I got more scars. I look like Clapham Junction.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the end of incident number one.
Okay.
Dave, how long did you take off work again?
I probably took about not far off. Because I was self-employed, I was actually a financial advisor at the time. And when I had the heart attack, I decided to pack it in because I didn't want the responsibility anymore of doing it. So I went into direct sales instead. And of course, I could just filter in part time. So I would say probably after about getting up not far off 6 months before I went back to work.
6 months.
And then I just sort of filtered in slowly and then built it up from there. But, within a year, I was working, 50, 60 hours a week.
Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Dave, obviously, when we talk about this being your first incident.
Yes.
There has been a subsequent incident.
A second incident. That was a cracker. Do you want to hear about that?
I think we should, yeah. I think we ought to.
Okay. Let's roll on 12, 13 years later. I was 67 now, and I ran up the stairs, and my heart rate suddenly shot up to about 220. And I thought, this isn't good, because it doesn't seem to be going down. So we called the ambulance, and they whisked me off. And I can remember being in the ambulance, and they had a student nurse. He said, do you mind if the student nurse tries to give you this injection to get your heart rate down? I said, nah, you carry on. But she couldn't find the vein. Anyway, they couldn't get my heart rate down. And so they took me into emergency department. They said, we can't get your heart rate down through injection. We're going to have to give you the paddles. So I had the paddles to get my heart rate back onto track. So it was quite a close shave, I have
what
to say.
What does it feel like,
I think,
Dave? What does a paddle feel like?
I don't know. They put you out before they put
Oh,
you
yeah.
out before the paddle. So they just put me out, and then they put the paddles on while you're out because I think it's probably quite painful. So they put the paddles on. Of course, my family are there, and of course they're all very really upset.
Yeah.
But it saved my life,
Yeah.
because I must have been that must have been about 40 minutes that I had with my heart pumping at 220. So it
So
was a
was
pretty
that
funny
back at
day.
was that back to Epsom as well, Dave, or
That was
was
at
it
Epsom as well. Yeah, that was at
yeah,
Epsom.
yeah.
Then they carted me off to St. Peter's. St. Peter's, they said, right, one of your grafts has disappeared altogether. From the bypass grafts, and the other one is about 95% blocked, which I don't know which one it is. Maybe that was the 50% one from the previous heart attack. And so they tried to put a stents in, but the first surgeon couldn't get them in because it was too tight.
Yeah.
So they had to get another surgeon and give it a second go, and they got three stents in, to open that artery, which you could watch, which is fun when you're watching these stents go in. And then they decided, because my heart had zoomed off at that sort of pace, they put an ICD in, which means that if my heart goes racing off, it'll give me a shock.
Yeah.
And that took a little longer to recover from that one. That was all a little bit traumatic.
Yeah.
And that's when I joined the gym. And
Oh, you didn't join the gym after the first incident?
no, I didn't. I did go to the gym, but I was probably kidding myself the number of times I thought I was going to the gym. I thought I was going to the gym more often than I actually probably was.
Hmm.
So you say, well, I'm going to go to it, but it's the same scenario when it's raining or it's cold, or I won't go today, I'll go tomorrow. But the actual gym at the hospital, there's two factors. One, it's arranged, pre-arranged time, so you have to go. And two, you got your peer pressure as well. You can't just sit there and do bugger all. You got to work hard. And so I would say that the second time at the gym was, I wish I would. I don't think it was that service, that gym was there on the first time. I don't think that was available.
I just love the cardio gym, and
Yeah,
a
cardio gym's
story,
been brilliant. Yeah,
a sad story, but also a funny story. I think after the, you have to do your 6 weeks, mandatory going to the cardio gym before you, if you can then choose to carry on doing it in the evenings, in the hospital. I remember I came out of the cardio gym, one session, and there was these three people, two guys and a woman. The first thing they did when they got outside, they lit up cigarettes. Unbelievable. I said, are you fucking kidding me? We're not being told what to do. And I said, but you're wasting your time, the hospital's time, taxpayers' time. Never saw them again. They were a complete waste. That's like self-destruct, but
I
very
think
weird.
that this it's difficult though, Fred. And I know when I'll come on. I mean, Mike and I will talk about ours as well. But what I found when I was in hospital, there was a lot of people there who were diabetic as well, and they had lifestyles which they couldn't control, and it must be a mental or
An
psychological
addiction.
thing, an addiction thing, right? And there was people in there who. And this is what worried me more than anything else is when I could see most of the people on the ward are diabetic, there was people coming in with sugary drinks as guests, giving them these Fanta and Coca-Cola and fucking what are these sweets, these Haribo sweets and stuff like this, and I'm going to myself, my God, if you're diabetic, should you be eating that stuff, right? So but the guy was swigging it, and within an hour, somebody was dressing his feet because he had diabetic feet. Do you
That
know what I mean? You know what I mean?
absolutely
And I'm thinking to myself, my God, you're screaming in agony now. An hour ago, you were swigging coke like it was going out of
Yeah.
fashion, man. I was thinking to myself, oh no. And I've developed a little bit of an obsession about diabetes as well. Like, you know, I'm sort of very worried about the mantra of diabetes and stuff. But
It's definitely, it's that when I was selling insurance, the one thing when I was selling insurance policies, the one thing that you did not want to have if you wanted to pay a low premium was diabetes. Once you had diabetes, you were buggered. And it's very interesting what you were saying, because there was an incident in the hospital. The surgeon that sort of just left my bed, and he went over to the bloke opposite me, who was a truck driver, and he says he'd obviously he'd just come back in another incident. He said, "Haven't I seen you before?" He said to this guy. He said, "Yeah." He said he saw me 2 or 3 years ago, and the surgeon said, "Have you stopped smoking?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Well, stop fucking wasting my time." And he walked off.
Yeah, I love it. Love
It was
You know,
brilliant.
there should be more of that, though, shouldn't there? There should be more of that,
The
you know.
surgeon, he
So,
didn't want to have any truck with him, because he's saying, "Well, what's the point of me looking after you? You're still smoking. I've seen you 3 years ago. Piss off. I'm off."
well, that's the end of episode one, part one. Please join us for part two with Mike and myself. And until the next installment, please look after yourself and stay safe.